Before I get into the message, I guess it's part of the message because it's part of the journey that God has brought me here today with this message. And as things evolved over the last few weeks, it was clear to me that I had to share this message with you this morning. While we're in Perth for the Basketball Netball Carnival, I picked up David Swartz's book, All Bets Are Off. To give you a bit of a personal insight into me, I'm a sporting tragic now because I love to play, but due to other priorities and sporting ability declining and physical fitness declining, I found that since the Netball Basketball Carnival, it's best that I'm on the other side of the white line than being on the court. That some of you men, maybe even women, may identify with the fact that we knew what we used to be able to do, but we can't do it anymore, and we get frustrated with ourselves. And it's not a pretty look. As a Christian, it's not the person I want to be, so it's best that I don't do it. So that's a little glimpse into one of my many interests. I do love sport. So I was interested to hear the story of David Swartz. I'm also passionate about seeing people's lives changed in the name of Jesus Christ and seeing healing occur. I never studied at school because I was always chasing a football or some sort of ball of some sort. Went to college, finished training college and said I'll never study again. Did a degree in counselling and said I'd never study again, and I'm currently doing a degree in psychology. So if you can help me, I'd be a better person. But I love the journey of wholeness, okay? And so I've read the book, David Swartz, All Bets Are Off, and to be fair to some of the people here this morning, all I want to say is a really tragic event happened to him that he witnessed when he was 8 years of old, 8 years of age. And the story unfolds of his addictive personality to cover up his pain of what he had experienced at such a young age, and a real great insight into the glamour life of being an AFL footballer, but the darkness and the sadness of what he has had to live with, and the strength and support of those around him to be able to overcome that addiction. Officers' Fellowship, a few weeks down the track from then, I caught up with a retired officer that had an impact on my life in my early years of training, and I was saddened to find out that he had had a breakdown just before retirement, and so he had to retire early. And so it was some 13 years ago that I had worked under this officer. He was a good man, and the Army would have been proud to have had him as an officer because he was a hard-working man, and there was no doubt, he loved God, he was passionate about his area of ministry, and he taught Lynn and I really well. What had happened was he'd gone to Vietnam. He'd come back, become an officer, and continued. And all of a sudden, roughly 3 years ago, just the whole impact of this experience, way back there, all of a sudden, he couldn't hold down anymore. And so the message that I come with you this morning, and for you, because I know we worship an amazing God and that we're all at different stages in our journey, you may be hiding sin from God, or think you are. Through the next 10-15 minutes, I want to give you an opportunity to be freed from that. But I believe that God has brought me here this morning to share a message that stuff happens to us in life. Heard the saying, bad things happen to good people? Stuff, and I'm going to use that word because it's why I like the way Paul says he had a thorn in the flesh. And three times he asked for it to be removed, and it wasn't. And there was his dependence on God, because if it was removed, I wonder Who knows? It's a hypothetical question. But he doesn't say what it was and so therefore I can identify with that thorn in the flesh in my own life, because I know the things, I know those little hooks that Satan has for Bruce, and I hope you know yours, because it puts our dependence on God all the more. By the by, the stuff that happens in our life that we don't deal with, we may not know how to deal with at the time. We may have been told by influential people that it's time to move on, but the wound is still open. And so your journey in life to this point, as we meet on this day, that God has created an opportunity for me to share this message that he has for me to share with you, is that you've been stuffing it for too long. Because at some point, and I can't help but think of this retired officer, that at some point, something that happened way back here, and he got on with his life, so he thought, and he stuffed. You cannot experience, I couldn't think, imagine in the wildest dreams that you could experience what he must have experienced, what David Swartz experienced, and maybe something that you may have experienced as a young child or in your developmental stage of life, that you can get to this point and that you can just think that life, by no fault of your own, you've just been told that life just continues, and we try because we just don't want to go there, and we try as much as we can, and it's almost a time where we become like we're drowning in it, because we've tried to stuff it. Or we create a wall. And I know, as I prepare this message this morning, this hit home for me, because I realized just a few years ago, my wife and I had gone through a fairly rough time of it. And this was my plan of attack. And I will testify to you this morning, quite openly, when we try to do things on our own and don't allow the Holy Spirit to break through in those areas of our life where we want to hold on to resentment, we want to hold on to bitterness, because we feel like it's some right of ours, because to humble ourselves before God's just too hard. Ridiculous, isn't it? As I think back on myself, but at the time I thought I was being so right, and yet I realized the more I did it, the lonelier I got. I wonder if you can identify with that this morning. We build up a wall. We're not going to let people get in there because it hurt, and we don't want to experience that pain again. God sent the Holy Spirit as a comforter, as an encourager. As we read the scriptures, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are tired and weary." The third point, as I thought about this whole theme of things that have happened to us and the way that we think we're clever, and I want to say that with my tongue in my cheek, because I share this message to myself as well. We become busy. And boy, do we love busy people in the army. Are you part of the best Christian denomination if you're a busy person? Because to sit still, to lie still at night, to think about what had happened, is just too painful. We have to be so careful. Because it's our thorn in our, I believe it is our thorn in our flesh as our organization. And so we need to check in with ourselves that we are, our intentions in what we do and why we do it is because of our relationship with Christ. Not to run from the past, not to cover up that I can earn my way, but it's because we do what we do because you do what you do. It's because it's out of an awesome relationship with Christ. And it's just this relationship that's engaged with one another, that you journey with Christ, not because you've had to become so busy because of something back there. Because as I began to unpack this further, I started to think of, you know, it's so obvious when we see people with addictions, and it's so easy to critique them. And I'm not going to list them as I'd planned. I don't believe it's appropriate with children in here. But we think of those addictions, and in much the same way, they become a transference out of the reality of life. The reality of life that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That we would have salvation. That we would have an eternal life. That we would have life in all its fullness. This life business isn't just about being a spectator in life. And so if we're to engage in this life that is full of passion, full of enthusiasm, and all that Christ has offered through us, through his death on the cross and his resurrection, we got to meet some of the way. I was nearly going to say halfway, but I don't think we can. We got to meet some of the way. Because I was also reminded at Officers Fellowship, I didn't mean the only officers in the room, you were there, so I assume they were listening. Colonels Garth and Mel McKenzie were talking about when ordinary people spend time with God, extraordinary things happen. And that just encapsulated, you know, wow. It's almost you could just say those words and say amen, let's walk and have morning tea or lunch or whatever we do. But I'm an extrovert. My wife tells me I talk too much, so I'm going to continue. Life, God has planned for an extraordinary life. And part of that journeying, as we respond, we don't initiate, we respond to that amazing gift that God has given to us of eternal life here, living now. I really want to encourage you that if you can identify with one of those three things, those areas, maybe for you it may look something different. That today would be a day of the journey of wholeness. Thing about having teenage children. Oh well, I have an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old, a tweenage and a teenage. So the experts tell me now, is I get great delight in showing them the movies that we grew up with. So when you pick up bargains like Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3 for $15. Kids, we're watching this. This is great. Is it, Dad? I'm sure they sit there, yeah, thanks, Dad. This is great. It's like, oh, this is my teenagehood. This is great. I love it. Anyway, I was fascinated by watching it that, you know, Marty McFly, come on, confess. Who's seen Back to the Future? Yeah, good on you. It's good to confess things like that, even being a Port supporter. Any, you know, stuff like that. It's just good for you. So, it's all right. I still haven't learned the gift of I speak before I think sometimes. But in it, they go back, and Marty wants to change the future to make sure his mum and dad meet. And in trying to do that, he actually messes it up. And I couldn't help but think that we're a little bit like Marty, you know, because of what I want to come back to this point this morning. Because of this thing in our life, these things, these experiences, the environment that we may have grew up in that was actually toxic, that's had a toxic effect in an area of our life, very difficult to... We want to go back, if we're brave enough, we want to go back and we want to fix it. And the more that we will try, just like my personal illustration, you know, I'm going to fix this. What am I going to do? I'm going to build a wall. Well, that's great. So you don't get hurt again. But hold on. We were created for community. So I'm living in direct violation of the way that God created me to be. It ain't going to work. Way to go, smart guy. You know, maybe you're smarter than me. But when we try and do it ourselves, we fall short every time. It's a reality. I want to encourage you to... And this is what I love about Scripture, is that when Jesus tells us something, there's always a hope, you know? I put this Scripture, Romans 3:23-24, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Oh, doom and gloom. We're gone. "And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." There is the ticket. That's the part where you say amen if you're still awake. Thank you very much. Woo! That's great. That's what I love about Scripture. Yeah, there's some home truths in there. And sometimes I need it put straight to me. But there's that encouragement that the hope of the world, that's why it's called the good news. Funny about that, isn't it? You hadn't thought about that? The good news. And so here is the good news. When Jesus spoke, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." There will be no darkness. Because when we're transparent and we want to live a wholesome life with Christ and we engage with him regularly, and I want to encourage you that that's, it's not rocket science, otherwise I wouldn't be standing before you. You know, that we have to, it's not rocket science, it's about spending time with God regularly, daily. And there are a number of ways to do that. In our reading earlier this morning, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." This is God. This is you and God. This is me and God. The prayer is, God, lead me in the way everlasting. I think I can confidently say that there must be someone here this morning, like me, that has tried to fix our own shortcomings, only to see it get worse. And through the words of David, the psalmist says, to lead me in your way everlasting. The prayer tells us so much about King David. Such a humble man. I wrote this down in my preparation. A prideful person would have said, "Hey God, search me all you like. I'm a good man. I'm a good woman. I've done a lot for the nation of Israel. I've done a lot for the Salvation Army. I've done a lot for the people of Ararat. I'm a good person. So go ahead, search me. You're not going to find any shortcomings here. I'm on top of my game." This prayer tells us that David knew the ways of God. Someone who didn't know God would have said, "I've done some wicked things in my life, but I've kept them well hid. God won't find them, and neither are you. Because I've got this beautiful uniform on and it hides some amazing imperfections, let me tell you. I like the way that it comes all the way down there." But David was humble. He knew God. He knew God knew everything about him. And I come as a messenger of God's love this morning to remind you, God knows everything about you. We can't hide. God wants a wholesome relationship for you. So now I just want to say these two scriptures again, and I want them to be directly, I want you to accept them as a gift from me this morning. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way that you have planned. Plans to prosper. Plans for a whole life. Doesn't matter what age you are. God, we worship a God of hope. Hope is eternal. God has plans for each and every single one of us. But in concluding this morning, if I've forced you to reflect on your life and the Spirit of God that is amongst us this morning is saying to you, that's getting in the way of our relationship, I don't apologize, because I believe wholeheartedly that God has sent me to share this message with you this morning. I want to ask the musicians to come forward, please. I know the song we're going to sing, but I can't exactly think of the words. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I wonder if in one of those rooms of your life, you've tried to keep the lock on it, that door, for just a little bit too long. Today's a day where that door gets opened. The light of Jesus comes and is going to shine through it. And he's going to journey with you, because he wants wholeness in every part of your life. And so I want to encourage you in the name of Jesus that as we sing this chorus, that you would just come and respond and be able to leave at this place at the front and begin a new chapter in your life where that area of your life gains wholeness and healing. Thank you.